Amen. Turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 22 this morning. We're going to talk about rebuilding, repairing the temple, building upon the foundation this morning. And I believe we're going to get some insight today for the coming year even. So 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 1 through 7. Says, Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adiah of Bozkath. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Now it came to pass in the 8th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan to the scribe, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshulah. You can pronounce these names however you want to. I just put a little hillbilly on them and we go on. To the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may count the money which has been brought into the house of the Lord, which the doorkeepers have gathered from the people. And let them deliver it into the hand of those doing the work, who are the overseers in the house of the Lord. Man, we could. I'm having to just kind of put off messages here. Let them give it to those who are in the house of the Lord doing the work, to repair the damages of the house, to carpenters and builders and masons, and to buy timber and hewn stone to repair the house. However, there need be no accounting made with them of the money delivered into their hand, because they deal faithfully. Hallelujah. Amen. God, thank you for faithful people. Then Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. Amen. I want to stop right there. Holy Spirit's been talking very directly to me about the rebuilding of the house of the Lord. And we think of that as a certain position and place, and we gather in different places, in different buildings, and different places to worship together. And whatever, you know, wherever it is that we feel like we can get closest to God or feel the presence of God or whatever. And but the house of the Lord today is the people of God. We are the temple. We're going to get in that in a little bit later. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. But Holy Spirit's been talking to me about restoring the building, restoring the house. Here, not too long ago, Holy Spirit shook me one day in prayer when all of a sudden he just very strongly said, get rid of the things that are against me. Get rid of the, trying to think of the word that he used. Paganism, thank you. Get rid of the paganism. And that really shook me, and I sat back and I said, you're going to have to give me some definitions. Tell me what is pagan. Are we, you know, we don't have idols that I know of in the house. But he's not just talking about our church building, he's talking about our hearts. And if we stop and look, there are a lot of idols in the hearts of people today. Some of it is just our own personal preference. Woo! Amen. Well, we could spend all day there, couldn't we? Some of us worship our personal preference. It has become idols to us. Amen. We have certain things that we think are everybody should conform to. Amen. Boy, I need to just keep skipping right on across this, because we could spend hours right here. Amen. There are idols that we worship today. Amen. I'm really gonna get some people here. There are people in the church that are literally trying to use a filter is very uncomfortable for me. I like just blow it out, and I'm trying to use a filter today. But there are people in the house of God that literally worship sports. I mean, you don't get in the way of their sports. Woo, you feel that cold blanket just... Amen. There are people that worship singers, and that even goes into Christian things. I mean, we put people up on pedestals, and we worship them, and we've got to begin to check our heart and ask God, Father, is there anything in my heart that is before you? Is there anything I need to go into the temple and carry out? Is there any altars that I need to tear down in my life? Some of us think of paganism and immediately we begin to think of different things in the world that needs to be changed. And certainly there are a lot of things need to be changed in the world. Amen. We have, you know, the whole idol worship thing. The Kansas City Chiefs has suddenly adopted another idol into the Kansas City Chiefs, and now it's Kansas City Taylor. Come on, somebody. Hey, I'm picking on everything today. You can't see an advertisement or report anymore about unless Taylor Swift's in it. We've all of a sudden become, you know, Kansas City's become you might get upset about this, but I've wondered what kind of agreement did she make with the elites of this world to all of a sudden be the promoted distraction of America. You say, well, that's wrong. You shouldn't say things like that. I know how this thing works. You don't suddenly start getting promoted and become a billionaire singer just simply because you've got more music or better music than somebody else. They have literally pushed her out there and promoted her in ways that now she is on top of everything. She made $1 billion off her last tour. Singing about all the bad relationships she's had and throwing her boyfriends under the bus. Come on, somebody. I'm just using a popular illustration, because the devil knows how to distract us. And a lot of these things are used as distractions to America. Amen. They do that while they're getting ready to quarantine us again, or they do that while they're getting ready, you know, to promote another shot or do some kind of corruption. You know, they like to distract us, and that's not what they call it. The FBI came up with this during the JFK assassination. Conspiracy theorist. That term was come up with by the FBI because people was beginning to say, oh, that ain't how it happened. And so anybody that disagreed with what they said became a conspiracy theorist. And, of course, now it's all come out that was actually true. The CIA was behind the assassination of JFK. But who's going to prosecute it, because the wolves are the ones that are in the prosecutor's seat. If I haven't irritated you yet, I'll be to you in just a minute. I'm an equal opportunity irritant. But when we begin to look at the house of the Lord, there's a lot of things we can focus on. There's a lot of problems we can focus on. There's a lot of things that are wrong in this nation and in this world that we could focus on. But Holy Spirit seems to be saying, hey, I want you to kind of shove all that to the side, and I want you to start looking at my house. I want you to start looking at my temple, and I want you to get my temple ready. I want you to start carrying out the junk in the temple. I want you to start tearing down the altars in the temple. I want you to start tearing down the idolatry in the temple. And I want you to take axes to it, chop it up, take it out, burn it, turn it to dust, get rid of it where it can never be restored again. And he's also saying, I want you to reestablish the right kind of worship in my house. I want you to bring my word back to the house. I want you to bring my power and my spirit. I want you to bring back to the house of the Lord that which I have ordained. Amen. Not what's popular, not what people like, what I have ordained. So Josiah, he called Shaphan and he said, hey, we have a mess. The kings of Judah have turned the temple into a place of idolatry. Hezekiah tried to clean it up, but he didn't quite get it cleaned up. There was a few kings that tried to clean it up, but here all of a sudden Josiah has been birthed, and at 8 years old, God brought him into reign, and he was influenced by godly people that established his heart in the ways of David. He began to seek the God of his father David, not his father of the evil people that went before him. He began to seek the God of his father David, and now he's older and he's looking at it. He's saying, this is wrong. The house of the Lord is in shambles. It's been destroyed. It's been corrupted. It's got everything except God in it. Amen. We went through every kind of thing that you can imagine in the body of Christ. We went through the worship of different stuff. I mean, different things. We've worshiped everything that there is and put it before God. In the last several years, money became the worship of the house of the Lord. Everywhere you went, they was preaching on money. Everywhere you tune in the radio, it was all about money. The God of Mammon became the God of the body of Christ. And God has come in and said, I want you to get the corruption out of my house. I want you to get the liars out of my house. I want you to get the greedy out of my house. I want you to bring it back to what it's supposed to be. Amen. I can't even get into all that. Money is not something that is to be focused on in the body of Christ. It is a tool to be used, and there should never be a shortage of tools in the house of the Lord if we're doing it right. Amen. God knows what things we have need of even before we pray. Amen. If he clothes the grass of the field, can he not clothe us? If he takes care of the birds of the air, can he not take care of us? Does God not know what we need before we ever ask? He knows exactly, and all we have to do is say, God, we need tools. We need stuff for the house of the Lord. We need things for you. And God knows how to transfer, bring it out, break it down. He knows how to take care of that to where it gets done. Here Josiah said, go get Shaphan and tell him to go to Hilkiah. And all the money that's come in by the doorkeepers where they took up the offerings, all the money, put it in the hands of the builders. Put it in the hands of the masons. Put it in the hands of the carpenters. And you don't even have to look over their shoulder, because I know these people. They're faithful people. They're not going to misuse the money. They're not going to steal the money. Oh, God, bring us back in the house of God where we can move forward and build the kingdom of God without having to try to catch those that are stealing. He said, don't even worry about it. He said, because their heart is to build the kingdom. Their heart is to build. I want you to know something. God wants to see multitudes come to him. He wants to see things happen to where there's multitudes of people saved, and you think God don't know how to bring the money and the finances into that thing. He knows how to get the tents. He knows how to get the chairs. He knows how to take care of those that are preaching. He knows how to take care of that. He's going to do that. Amen. But he wants to know that people are going to go out into the harvest and not sit there counting their money, but go out into the harvest and begin to reap the harvest, begin to reap the fields. This isn't even, I haven't even got to my message yet. Amen. Praise God. If you notice, we do things a little different here. We don't even take up an offering. There are places for you to deposit your offerings, because if you would steal from God, why would we want you in here anyway? Amen. If I have to have deacons come and shake a bucket in front of you and look at you like, where's your offering? Come on, get your offering. If I have to give you an hour message every Sunday to try to get you to give, there's something wrong in the house of the Lord. Amen. I got to tell you something. When the grace of God's on something, money starts flowing. People start running and throwing money. Why? Because there is a grace. There's a power. There's an anointing. And this is the house of the Lord. This is not the house of Snyder. This is not the house of Davis. This ain't the house of Greer. This is the house of the Lord. Amen. And we run. Hallelujah. You guys are up here, so I picked on you. Man, I wasn't even going to mention any of this. Obviously, Holy Spirit wants us to. I want you to understand something. If the body of Christ needs $1 million tomorrow, because we are going to break down the barriers, we're going to break down the walls of the devil, and we're going to go after the spoils of war, I want you to know something. God knows how to transfer that into the hands of the people that need it. We don't have to try to beg, borrow. I don't have to sell cookies. I don't have to do anything else, because God knows how to take care of his people, and he knows how to get us into a place where it's not a problem. Hallelujah. Tear down the idols. Carry out the corruption. Take the corruption out. Hallelujah. The house of the Lord is broken down. The altars need to be repaired. The ungodly priest of Jezebel has tore the altars down to a point that we can't even use them anymore. But I got to tell you something. There's people carrying stones right now that has not been hewn, but they're carrying stones to put the altar back where it's supposed to be and rebuild the altar. The sacrifice of the Lord is coming back to the house of the Lord, and the anointing and power of Almighty God is coming back, because we're going to get rid of the priest of Baal and Asherah. We're going to cut down the grove, and we're going to bring back the power and glory and anointing of God. This is his house. We are his temple. Had somebody tell me here a while back, said, I'd come to your church, but I don't like to be yelled at. I apologize. You got to understand, when God grabs hold of you and squeezes, amen, you're going to make a noise. You know them little toys with the squeakers in them? That's how we are. All of a sudden, the Holy Ghost grabs hold of us and starts doing like this. We go, whoop, 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 whoop. We can't help but squeak when God gets a hold of us. Amen. We can't help but shout and get excited because He is the Lord God Almighty. And we are not here to worship ourselves. We're not here to worship what we like. We are here to worship God Almighty and to lift His name up. First Corinthians chapter 3, starting with verse 1. Paul said, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as a spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ, I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there is envy, strife, division among you." Oh, listen to me. Oh, God, tear down the idols. "For where there's envy, strife, and division among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am of Apollos,' are you not carnal?" Amen. God, tear down the idolatry in the house of God. "Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed. As the Lord gave to each one, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." God, bring us back to this today. Hallelujah. Bring us back to this today, Father God. Lord, thank you for those that are planting. Thank you for those that are watering. But God, we look to you for the increase. We look to you, Lord God, for the anointing. We look to you, Lord God, for that which you have brought forth. "So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building." Oh, we got to go back over that again. "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, and you are God's building." Everybody say, "I am the building of God." Hallelujah. Now you got to get that saying in it. "I am the building of God." I'm going to start singing this thing in just a minute. Glory. "I am the building of God." Of God. "According to the grace of God which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But listen to this, but let each one take heed how he builds on it." Amen. We got to get rid of this thing of churches and pastors trying to get a corner on their market, trying to have the best of this and the best of that, and this elitist organization that is built in the body of Christ, where we try to outdo each other to get the biggest crowd, to get people to show up. I got to tell you something, as people showing up because of that, we ain't got nothing. We ain't got nothing but a house of Baal worship. Amen. If we have to say, "Come to our church, we have the best worship," what have we just done? We've just moved God out of the way. come to our church. We got the best sermons. We got the best preaching. We got the most comfortable pews. We got the best carpet. We'll hand out hand warmers to those that are cold. We got robes for those that are you know cold and we got fans for those that are hot. I got to tell you something. There is absolutely no way for us to keep everybody happy in this house. We got to try to keep the hot warm and the cold cool. Amen. If you're too cold in here, wear a coat. If you're too hot, I don't really know what to tell you, but keep your clothes on. Amen. Preferences become God. It's too cold, it's too hot, it's too long, it's too loud, it's too soft, it's too quiet. It's not enough. We should do more. There should be more preaching, there should be more worship, there should be more time for every time. I don't know what's going on around here. That's why we got Angie up here trying to tell you. Amen. Did you see her? She said we are having church on the 24th. Yay. Amen. And we're having church on New Year's Eve. That's what she's trying to tell us. Amen. Some of y'all didn't hear things she said. You're checking out what she's wearing. Some of you women checking out what kind of sweater she had on, what kind of glasses she wearing, what's her hair look like. Oh, I like that. I like her hair. Oh, I like, what'd she say? Come on, somebody. But that ain't what we come to church for. That's not what we get. It don't matter if we're gathering under a tree or in a nice building. There's one focus, and that is God deserves our worship and our praise. And we're going to declare his word, and we're going to see the glory and power of God because he is everything. Oh, my word. Where's our time gone? We need to carry the God of the clock out of the church of God. Hey. Some of y'all saying, no, 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 don't do that. No. There's another church I pastored for about 6 years, and they obviously thought I was blind because they replaced the clock on the back wall with a clock about this big. They wanted to make sure I could see it. Amen. Oh, boy. I am meddling today. He said, you are the field, you are God's building. He also said, the seeds have been sown, the foundation has been laid. I'm just going to declare to you today that we have a foundation that is secure. It is established. Amen. We have a foundation that is secure. It is established. God's been helping us for several years now to build a foundation in this area. That gets rid of all the silliness. That's got rid of all the junk. And it's just him. Amen. God's been changing the culture of this area. He's been changing the culture of this region. I've been watching it. I've been a part of it for years now. Amen. For years now, I've been watching it. God took me... And made me shut off everything, cancel everything, and stay here for the last 20-some years, 30 years actually, because he said he wanted to move in this area. Amen. He had some things he's going to do, and he's getting it ready. Amen. And we've been working, and we've been laboring for years now to see what we're seeing now in this area. The seeds have been planted. We are on a 20-year cycle right now. And I want to explain that to you. Things that God was doing 20 years ago that seemed to have just collapsed and came to nothing, it has cycled back around, and 20 years later, we are coming back. Thank God it didn't take 40 years. We're coming back to the promised land. We're at the River Jordan again, and we're standing at the River Jordan, and God's saying, are you going to go in this time? Or are you going to stand at the River of Jordan and argue on what kind of boat we need to build? Who should be the first one in? Who should carry the scepter? See, God is tearing down all of the foolish, insecure arrogance in the body of Christ. I know that term sounds like a contradiction. It's not. Insecure arrogance has destroyed the body of Christ. We're so insecure that we have to try to beat back anybody that's a threat to our anointing or to our position or our place. And then we're so arrogant that we have to try to rise above everybody else and be the best, the most, the ever. That God is tearing that garbage down and carrying it out of the house of God. We got it on our shoulders, and we've been carrying it out of the body of Christ and throwing it on the trash heap and grinding it into powder, because God wants the body of Christ and the house of God to come back to pure worship. Not man worship. Amen. 20 years ago, I want to just talk about some seeds for a minute. There have been seeds planted. The seeds of revival in this area were planted 20 years ago, and we had an amazing move in this area. The seeds have been planted, and they have not died. They've been being watered. Hallelujah. We mowed them down, but the roots are still alive. Amen. But 20 years ago, God planted the seeds of revival in this area. And at that time, we didn't know what we was doing. And what came with the move of God was an elitist hierarchical system. And it destroyed the move of God. And most of us bought into it because we thought that's how it was supposed to be. That's what we were taught. That's what we were told. Because we were afraid of the people that we were pastoring. Come on, somebody. Man, I'm getting down where the rubber meets the road now. Because anytime there's a move of God, you're going to have the extremes. And you're going to have things that aren't quite right. And you're going to have things rise up that isn't right. And we're so afraid of that we're willing to kill the fire. We're willing to put the fire out just to keep a little wildfire from coming. Amen. But the seeds have been sown, and they're bringing forth. Hallelujah. I'm going to throw some seeds out today. Amen. Praise God. I remember God moving around this place to the point that we were in church every night, and there were people running to the altars to get saved. I mean, come on, somebody. I mean, running to the altars to get saved at all times during the service, because there was such a powerful pull and draw of the Spirit of God. Brother Casey, listen to me. When the Spirit of God comes on you like he did today and gives you a word, don't stop. Give an altar call. Call people forward. Amen. Don't get preachy. Just give an altar call, because the call was in your voice. The anointing was in your voice. There was a call going out. Amen. Call people forward. Amen. Because we got the word. Pastor Rob will jump up and grab people and we'll come and pray. And then the worship team will go right back into worship. It's not this, that, or the other. It's not either or, it's and. On Sunday morning, we can worship, get people saved, baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, healed, and preach a gospel message all without irritating the Holy Spirit. But what we end up doing is irritating our spirit. Amen. Man, we start having a good service, God moving, you know, things happening. And then me or Brother Rob get up to preach. And there's a certain percentage of people in this house, I'll guarantee you, because they've come up and told me, that'll cross their arms and say, well, you just grieved the spirit. You shouldn't have preached. You grieved the spirit. Now, I grieved your spirit. I didn't grieve Holy Spirit because he loves the Word of God. He loves worship. He loves healing. He loves getting people saved. He loves to do it all. Amen. Hey, come on. Woo! I'm about to give an altar call right here. I can feel it. Seeds have been planted for an amazing move of God. Hallelujah. I've been asking God, I've been praying. This is my prayer, and I realize this is probably out there, but it's not past God. I've been saying, God, I pray that our altars are never empty and our baptistry is never dry. Lord God, I pray that there's a line of people getting saved and baptized every week, that we don't have time, that just part of our Sunday service is baptizing people that have gotten saved. Amen. They run them right on through. I remember a night, some of y'all might remember this, if you was here. I remember a night that I baptized somebody. I think it was a Sunday night service, I can't remember. We baptized somebody up here. And when I baptized them, they didn't come up. So I'm down in the water and I'm trying to lift this person up. And ushers run up there and was trying to help me. And they drug this person out of the baptistry. Power of God was on them so heavy that they couldn't walk, drug them out of the baptistry. And I heard a noise. I was standing up here. I was in this baptistry right here. I heard a noise after I got her out. And I turned around and looked. And there was a stampede. There was people running at us. Diving in the baptistry. I just climbed out of the baptistry and stood over the side and watched people run and jump. I mean, they're doing bodies. They're just going into bat. Water was going up, and people and the ushers was there trying to get them out of the baptistry. And there was bodies everywhere. They was trying to drag them out. And next thing I know, there's water flowing down this platform onto the floor, and there's wet bodies laying everywhere in this church because the glory and power of God came so powerful in the house. We didn't plan that, but God did. There wasn't nothing great about that water that was in the baptistry. It was the fact that somebody saw something. They saw God move and they're saying, I want God. I want him to move on my life. The seeds have been sown for multitudes to be saved. We have spoils of war that's coming in. I've been experiencing it lately. We got spoils of war coming in. We fought a lot of battles. The enemy's tried to shut us down, tried to tear us apart. I got to tell you something. In the last revival we had, there was some stuff rose up in that revival that was putrid. It was corrupt. It was awful. And we all struggled with different things that was going on. And we just shut, I mean, things started shutting down. Matter of fact, I started shutting it down because I felt like, God, something's wrong. Something's wrong. And I had another pastor tell me, he said, I've never seen a pastor tear his own church down like you did in my life. He said, why'd you do that? I said, because it was becoming corrupt. It was becoming full of man. There was sin in the camp right in the middle of the glory of God. There was pride and arrogance. And we went back to the altar. And for 20 years, we've been saying, God, show us how to do this. God, show us how to do this. And Brother Clay Nash, we had supper with him and his wife the other night, had an amazing time. We got to sharing stories about God and about the things God's done, and we got so anointed. Brother Clay said, whoa, I feel faith, right? He said, Brother Snyder, we need to get together and just talk about the things God's done. We need to just get a whole bunch of people together and start sharing testimonies. Sister Claudia sent me a video of Dutch Sheets. And I got to be honest with you, I don't watch a lot of that because I want to hear from God. But I saw it and I thought, I think I need to hear this. And he was talking about remembering. He's talking about the testimony. And it's not just saying this is what God's done. This is what God did for me. The testimony is saying I'm going to proclaim this so that he can do it again. I am proclaiming something today so he can do it again. I'm telling you, there's revival in the land. There's revival in this church. There's revival in this area. And we're going to see the glory of God again in ways that we never imagined we could see it, because we are the field. We are the building. God has planted the seeds. He's watered it. He's built the foundation. I've been getting calls lately from people that was in that revival that left the church 20-some years ago. And they've been calling, and some of them have been calling me and saying, Brother, I got to repent to you. I got to apologize to you for things I said and things I did 20-some years ago. What is that? That's God bringing us back around. We've come full circle, and we're coming right back. We're back at the gate. We're back at the river. We're being faced with the same thing. And God's saying, I didn't give up. I didn't quit. I'm ready again. And as Rob and Tammy say constantly, is your yes on the table? Oh, man. There's so much I need to say, but this 20-year cycle has come back around, and I can sense it. In the worship this morning, I felt the glory of God. I said, oh, God. Amen. The last time it came, I spent most of my time on the floor. Amen. This time I've been saying, God, help me to stand up. Help me to stand up and take back what the devil's stolen. Amen. God, help us to fight in this battle. I went down. I heard about this thing called the Father's Day Outpouring, or the Pensacola Revival, or the Brownsville Revival. And I heard about it. And, you know, I didn't know what to think about it. There were some little things going on in different places back then. I had fought so many battles up to that point that I was hard. I was hard. It wasn't that I was hard against God. I was hard because I had to fight every day of my life. A soldier becomes hardened after a while. You become hardened to the battle. If you don't, It's just too painful. And I had become hardened. I was out for God. I wanted to do God's will. But my heart was hard and I was like flint. Because I had to stand my ground and fight over and over and over. For the first 10 years of my life, I was voted out and told no and told we don't want you by every church and congregation that I had anything to do with. Amen. And then God would move. Amen. In spite of me. Amen. There's times that I would go to preach somewhere and the pastor would say, I don't want you here. And I'd say, well, I'm here. How about just letting me go ahead and preach? Well, I don't like you, and I don't want you here. And I'd say, well, okay. And then all of a sudden we'd have a move of God. You know why we'd have a move of God? Because I wouldn't let what they were saying stop me. Amen. I had a pastor in South Africa tell me that. I got pulled up to the church and he said, no, you're not going to. He sent people out and said, tell that man he's not coming in my church. So we stood outside. I said, well, ask him why. He didn't really have a reason. He said, I don't want them in my church. They're not going to preach in my church. And so we negotiated. And I used the same thing. We're here. You know, we'll be gone tomorrow. He ended up letting us preach. There was a young girl there that night that was demon-possessed. We cast the demons out of her. She was set free. And 3 weeks later, there was 30 people in his church. That's all the congregation he had, 30 people. 3 weeks later, there was over 600 people in that church. You know why? Because they saw that young girl that had been set free. I preached that night and left. He got to reap the harvest. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. Sometimes you become hardened to the battle. And I was hardened. I went down to Brownsville. Y'all got time for this? I went down to Brownsville. I wanted to see what was going on. I was down there to check it out. I was down there to see whether I approved or not. Amen. God loves it when people like me show up at a revival. Because he's thinking, God's thinking, I'm going to enjoy this. Angels are back there dancing around. Woo-hoo! Boy, look what we're gonna mess him up tonight. I showed up down there, and I just got to tell you, I did not approve. I was thoroughly irritated by what was going on around me. There was people jerking and shaking and carrying on. I actually held my hand up like this because there was a lady over here jerking, about to drive me out of my mind. I mean, it's like, oh my Lord, somebody get her to the emergency room. And I sat there the whole service with my hand up like this because she was just driving me out of my mind. And I was saying, oh God. And I remember making this statement, God, I don't want this in my church. I don't want people acting like this in my church. Bless God. I'm a man of God, and I know what's supposed to happen. At the end of that service, I went down. I saw some pastor friends of mine that was there that night. I went down there to ask him, hey, how about we go out and get some supper and fellowship, you know? So I went down on the main floor, made my way around to where they was at. And I was talking to him about that time, this big, tall guy, Messianic Jew called Dick Rubin, started down the aisle where I was at. It looked like a bulldozer clearing roads. Literally. He was coming down through there praying for people, and people was just doing like this. I mean, just flying backwards and just, and I'm standing there like. And so I did the only thing that a dignified pastor like me should do. I went over to the side. I got up against the wall. And I watched this snowplow coming down through the people. And I'm thinking, wow. I mean, people were just flying in front of him. Just, it was just mayhem and madness. And they were stepping on each other, falling over each other. It just, I mean, just bodies were just flying and rolling. And I'm thinking, dear God. And all of a sudden, Dick Rubin got to even with me, and I'm quite a ways from him, but he has arms like Stretch Armstrong. And I'm standing there, and he's praying for people, and all of a sudden, he stops, and he looks right at me. And I'm thinking, uh-oh. There's a lot of people between me and him. And he's staring right at me. And all of a sudden, he points at me. And he says, God, break this man open so the river of God can flow out of him. And I felt like something hit me in the chest. I mean, literally, it was like a sledgehammer hit me in the chest. And I went, and I fell forward with my hands to my side. There was no catchers. I went forward, my hands down to my side, and I saw the floor coming. I did a face plant right in a concrete floor without being able to catch myself. When I hit that floor, something broke inside of me, and I started shaking and quivering and jerking and bawling like a baby, and I stayed there for a long time, and when I got up, there was something different about me. Amen. God had broke something in me. I came back to church on Sunday morning thinking, oh God, what's going to happen? I was in the back of my mind, I was still thinking, God, I don't want all that jerking stuff. And I got up behind this pulpit right here. I don't remember what I said, but I said something, and all of a sudden I was down on the pulpit, and I started weeping. And next thing I know, my feet and legs buckled beneath me. And I'm down on the floor, and I fell over like a dead man in front of the congregation. Everybody was gasping. And some of the men jumped up and said, should we check his heart? They thought I died. They thought I had a heart attack and died. They were right. And so they just let me lay there. And everybody's thinking, what is going on? God began to move like that, and I had people coming up to me and say, Pastor, you're ruining our church. You're destroying our church. This stuff shouldn't be in our church. And I kept saying, I don't know what to tell you. I was kind of like Peter. God did it. The people of Jerusalem saying, you shouldn't have went down and preached the gospel to those Gentiles. And Peter saying, God, it was God. I didn't do it. God began to move. I know I'm going long, but God began to move. powerful. There were seeds sown. Do you understand what I'm talking about? There were seeds sown. It has not died. It has only been growing roots, and the foundation has been increasing, and character has been growing, and people's been growing people like me up and getting us ready for what he's going to do, because he wants people that are mature. See, back then we were all instructors, but none of us were fathers. But God has brought us down the road to where he's raised up a bunch of fathers in this area, and now we are more prepared for the move of God. I had a man come up to me, look me right in the eye, and he said, I want to know if this is real or you just faking. I said, okay. That's all I did. Took my index finger and touched his forehead. He flew about 7 feet backwards and landed on the floor and didn't get up for a long time. And when he got up, he said, man, this is real. You understand what I'm talking about? Seeds have been sown. Seeds have been sown for prayer. Prayer. Back then we tried to start prayer meetings, and we tried to get people praying, and we had some good success. There was nights that we'd have prayer meeting where there was enough people to stand shoulder to shoulder all the way around this auditorium. Completely all, and that would be our prayer meetings. A lot of people showing up. But like I said, there was an elitist hierarchical system in place, and people are always fighting for who is the most spiritual and who is the leader and who, and we know how to pray, and you guys need to, should we have music in the worship or should we not have music? And I don't like music, so I'm not gonna be part of your prayer meeting. I like music, so I'm not gonna be part of your prayer meeting. Fighting and tug of war is going on. But I believe that God has brought us to a place where he's tried to get all that foolishness out of us. The seeds have been sown for worship, where the presence and power of God is so amazing and his glory is so powerful that we can't do anything but fall on our face and worship, because his glory is so amazing. All we can do is fall on our face and say, God, we're undone. God, clean us up. Get us ready. The foundation has been built. Now it's our job to be careful what we build on that foundation. I believe in my heart we can have a move of God, powerful move of God, at the same time see thousands of people saved, at the same time disciple those thousands of people, at the same time take them through deliverance. The seeds of deliverance has been laid in this area, has been sown, and we might have messed it up several times, but it's been sown, it's growing, and it's producing fruit. I believe we can do all this without having to fight over which is more important. Amen. Stand with me today. Wow. Do y'all understand that I'm not done? I'm trying to wind myself down here, but I'm not done. This week we've got to sit and talk about this. And me and Pastor Rob met with Brother Livengood the other day, him and his wife, and we sat and talked about the move of God for 2 hours, told stories and talked about the move of God. It's like God's bringing us back around and saying, here it is. Here it is. Father, clean the house up. Lord, clean the house up. Father, in our lives, in our hearts. Lord, help us to carry out the idolatry and crush it. Help us to carry out the paganism. Help us carry out the stubbornness. Help us carry out, Lord God, the arrogance and the insecurities. God, help us to carry all this stuff out of our house and turn it to powder. Father, I pray today, Lord God, that you prepare us. God, prepare us. Prepare us in the name of Jesus. You know, this is what I hear Holy Spirit saying. He's saying, I've sown seeds in your heart. I've sown seeds in your heart, and they're still there. I've been watering them. And now I need you to turn the sun on it. I need you to get out in the sun where those seeds can grow. Amen. Get them out where they can grow. Hallelujah. God's calling us and asking us, can I trust you again? Are you there again? I don't know about you, but I'm like Caleb. I'm standing at the mountain saying, I might be a whole lot older, but I can still take this mountain. That mountain still belongs to me. I haven't got it yet. That mountain still belongs to me. There's people in this house right now, you know the seeds of revival and the seeds of the move of God is planted inside of you. It's there. You know it is. I want to know today, are you able to stand and say in front of the mountain and say, it belongs to me. I haven't got to get possession of it yet, but it belongs to me. I believe we can still do it. If your yes is on the table this morning, listen to me. We need to have our yes on the table. We don't have to have a certain form. If we give an altar call right in the middle of worship, I think we ought to just grab hold of people, start praying for them, believe God, and then just go right on with it. Just keep going with it. Because there's more. If your yes is on the table today, I want you to get out of your seat and bring that yet to God. Because I think we need to come and start hauling some stuff out of the house of the Lord and saying, God, I want you to take these idols out of me. I want you to take this rebellion out of me. God, take this stubbornness out of me. Take this arrogance out of me. God, take this hurt out of me. Take this disappointment out of me. God, all the things we've turned into idols, Lord God, take it out today. Clean the house, Lord. Clean the house, Lord. Because you're calling in the builders. You're calling in the carpenters. You're calling in the masons to build the house of the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, here I am. Thank you, Father. Ask God. Ask God to cause those seeds to break through the ground today. God, let those seeds break through. Let them break through, Father. God, I'm ready. I'm willing. Hallelujah. God, whatever you want to do in this day, Lord, whatever you want to do, there's revival coming back to the house in America. God, however you want to do it, whatever you want to do, Father God, we're open to you. Clean us up. Purge us, Father. Purge us of man worship.